The second chapter of 1 John, and God willing, we're going to pick it up in the 18th verse, and God willing, we'll close out the second chapter tonight. John, as we've been noticing here, the Holy Spirit has really moved this dear brother, and as we get into this final part of chapter 2, there's even greater urgency. The fervency that John is speaking here in the power of the Holy Ghost to Christians. And there's a battle going on. And it's the same battle that's going on today. And brothers and sisters, we have to realize that the Word of God tells us that the evil of man is going to wax worse and worse. And it's here. And it's not that we get caught up in the evil, but we're not ignorant. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The Word of God is very clear. It's very true. There's nothing new. Man is still the same old man. The flesh is still the same flesh. That old nature is still the same old nature. But praise be to God, grace is sufficient, just like we've been singing of. The grace of God. It's the grace of God. That provision is there for us. And John is speaking in this wonderful love of the Holy Spirit to these Christians that are truly battling unbelief, that are truly being battled with compromise. And as we begin here, he's going to go back in the 18th verse and he's going to say, little children. And the Word of God tells us that little children in another part of the word, are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They're listening to things that they shouldn't be listening to. There's cares that they shouldn't be caring about. And I'm talking about the cares of this world, the cares of philosophy, the cares of man's wisdom. And brothers and sisters, we need to flee that. Now, people will tell you, well, they're just trying to get your mind and seize it over there, and you're not supposed to be open to anything. Well, that's not the point. His sheep hear His voice. His sheep hear His voice. And I can't encourage you anymore. I can't encourage my life anymore to be attentive to the Word of God. Let that be your satisfaction. Let the joy and peace. And there's only one joy and peace, and that's believing the Word of God. It's in Jesus. That will give you the satisfaction. That will give you the peace. You'll think at times because of our old nature or because of the enemy that we need to take a break. We need to go do something else. We need to be over here. Let's give this a listen to or this a try. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, stand and withstand, and having done all, stand. He'll bless you for it. He will. He'll give you the greatness of what He wants you to have. It's there for us. But there's going to have to be a stand. And this is this warning to these dear brothers and sisters. And the same warning is to us today. And I believe as we get into this, instead of starting in the 18th verse, I want us to read verse 26 today. And that's how we'll start this off. And I think this will kind of put it all together. In verse 26 it says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." So basically what he's saying here, I'm writing this because of the devilish doctrine that's out there, that's turning the truth into a lie, and it's seducing you. And in order to be seduced by something, brothers and sisters, you have to be giving your attention to it. Let's just call it what it is. It's not going to have an effect on you unless you're paying attention to it. It's not going to have an effect on you unless you're entertaining in that environment, allowing it to come into your life. I'm going to call it like it is. There's a seduction going on, and it can be very subtle, it can be very blunt. But the enemy was setting a snare of unbelief and worldly compromise, and he's doing the same thing today. And that's just what this word seduce means. It means to cause to stray from the truth and be led away in error. Cause to stray from the truth and being led away in error. And I do believe that we live in the greatest time of Christian compromise that there's ever been. And the compromise does one thing. Compromise puts Christians to sleep. A deep sleep. A sleep that is so deep that we miss being ready for the coming of the Lord. And by the grace of God, we need to look up to be in tune, because we know that Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. If we're at all attentive to the things of God, we know that He could come at any moment. I was just so thrilled this past week after Sunday and visiting just in that afternoon with some of the brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, we're looking for Him to come today, but I'm still just thinking, Lord, You have to come this week. You know, if it's not going to be today, I just know it's going to be this week. And aren't we going to have a time? And I looked into that sister's eyes and I knew it was just as real could be, because it was just Christ. And it was, can you imagine? Well, I can't imagine, but the Spirit, And what a time it's going to be. And how precious it is that we gather and we read of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who loves us so, our title deed, what He wants us to take, what He wants us to partake of. And by the grace of God, what's coming. And how we know that, praise God, our time hasn't come yet. Our day has not begun. Because the day of the Lord is coming. And by His grace, I don't want to miss one second with Him. To be there at the very moment that that day begins. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what we're invited into. And that's what God wants us to partake in. And that's what a offering is there. So let's go ahead on back into verse 18. And we'll pick it up, understanding that this is talking about the seduction. And the seduction that's going on. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. See, the Lord was dealing with these folks even back then of this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That message was out there. It was going forth. It was going forth mightily. And just as much as back then, as much as today, He wants us to win Him. And He was warning it back then. And those same tests and those same trials and that same pressure and that same pressing and that same Antichrist, if you want to say, environment was going on in such a mighty way. And it's going on today. And believe it or not, it's even more wicked, as the Word of God tells us. And that's why it's so precious, the time that we live in, to the coming of the Lord. The wickedness is the greatest it's ever been. So praise be to God, those that must be looking up for Him must have the greatest of faith. And I believe that. I believe that, praise God, we are looking for Him in that way. We are so mightily encouraged of the Holy Spirit and how this grace has been poured out for so long. That... And so it says, whereby we know that it is the last time. In verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, this is very alarming. This is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist always does one thing. It pretends to be a Christian. It pretends to go out there and be like Christ. It pretends to offer the same things that Jesus Christ does. It even calls themselves Christians. It calls itself of Christ, but it's not. So what he's saying here is, little children, wake up. Little children, wake up. Settle down, receive, believe God, or it's going to be too late. Because there's a season. It's time. Look what it says here. It's the last time. The season is right now for us to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And notice here, he's not speaking to fathers and young men. Do you remember how last week in verses 13 and 14, he talked to the children, he talked to the fathers, and he talked to the young men. No longer is it young men and the fathers, it's the children. It's the children. And children, he's calling them to be mature. Because what's happening is, in their immaturity, they're being led away. The thoughts are being planted there of unbelief. Because they're entertaining the things that are seducing them. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. We live in the information, the technology age, don't we? They didn't have TV back then. They didn't have all the billboards back then. They didn't get in a car and immediately turn on a radio and start listening to talk this and talk that. They didn't have all of these incredible special entertainers that are bombarding them, whether it's on the regular TV or the cable or the big screen or the internet or whatever it is. We're bombarded with this stuff. And we need to be aware, and we need to beware. And we need to beware of what we're hearing and what we're feeding on. And we can become very impressed with people. We can become very attracted to people. They can have a great personality. They can be incredible speakers. They could have done many, many things for society. Great minds. Incredible thoughts. Very entertaining. But God forbid we would ever be swayed and not make a stand when these people are being led. And some of them are. Absolutely of the enemy. To subtly get in there and seduce God's people. And it's going on. And I don't need to name the names of those celebrities. I don't need to name the names of those politicians. I don't need to name the names. You know why? Because I believe that Jesus Christ will convict your heart. But the one thing you need to do is you need to respond. When you're being dealt with, when God is moving in your heart and you're convicted, respond. Don't put him off. Don't say, well, I'll respond tomorrow. You know why? Because you just compromised. And you know what compromise does? It makes those senses more dull each and every time. And then you start receiving more of that stuff and more of that stuff. And finally, you might not even find yourself reading the Word of God anymore. Let me tell you something. I've seen people in this meeting, brothers and sisters, that have hardened their hearts to the things of God. People that truly, I really believe, were on fire for the things of God. You couldn't imagine the religions that they're into today. The hatred that they harbor today. The hardness of heart that's going on. It's the same old devil. It's the same old tricks. But it's the seduction that we're paying attention to. And brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, may we tune ourselves in, truly tune ourselves in to the things of God, His Word. Not because something's not working out right now for me, and I'm going to give the Lord, well, I'll give you 5 minutes to take care of it, Lord, or I'm going to go seek it over here. I'm going to go seek that answer over there. The making of books, there'll be no end. And you know it. And they're going to tell you the how to. And what it is how to depart from the gospel. Your answers are in the Word of God. Every single time. For every single thing in your life. Whether it's for your healing of your body. Or healing in your family. Or healing in your finances. By that those stripes. And by the grace of God, it's by that stripe. He took the stripe of death for you and me. And He said He finished it. Now, by the grace of God, I'm going to believe that. How about you? And say, Jesus, You have got this. You've taken care of this for me. Give me that great faith by Your grace to lay hold of what You've already provided. But brothers and sisters, it is going on. And it's very evident what's going on right now in this world. Think of the fear. I've never seen people so afraid. I talk to people on the phone that I've known a long time. It's like I'm talking to somebody I don't even know. So afraid of their bank account. So afraid of their 401k. So afraid of that. Let's just get it all out right now. They're going to throw the silver. So I don't care if you get into precious metals. Listen to me. Listen to the Word of God. It's talking about gold too. It is. They're going to throw it in the street. He's your provider. He is your provider. I don't know what I'll have tomorrow. I really don't. But the one thing I do know I'll have is Jesus Christ. And He takes care of me. He always does. He fulfills every desire. He fulfills every need. And there is that joy and peace in just settling down with that. When those thoughts come to try to bring you chaos, try to bring you fear, try to bring you anything else, really, go back to say, Lord, no, You've promised me joy and peace in believing the Word of God. And now I'm going to, by the Holy Spirit, abound in that hope. Isn't that wonderful? And abound in the ultimate hope that Jesus could actually show up right now. That's what it is. So praise be to God. That is what we have. That is what He has provided. But I think, too, don't get caught up into false hope. What a privilege to be in this time and see people all lathered up about a presidential candidate. Now, I mean that. Both sides. Don't go, well, I know they are. No. Don't be lathered up. Knock that off. If your hope's in a man, it's false. It's false. I'm just going to tell you. It better be in Christ. And all I can say is wake up. And the reason is because we are in the last time. Just as they were in the last time. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord says that? In the last time. Well, I've heard people kind of mock this scripture. Well, how could you say they were in the last time? Because Jesus didn't come. That wasn't the last time. Well, you know, it'd just be a knucklehead if you're going to be a knucklehead. We are supposed to be living. How? As if He's coming today. As if He's coming right now. Praise be to God. Whether He comes now or whether He comes 1,000 years from now, by the grace of God, I'm living by grace as if He's coming now. And that's the joy and peace in believing. That's where God gives me such satisfaction. And that's when I can go home tonight and I can say, Lord, I really would have loved You to come while I was awake. But you know what? As Brother Hill used to say many times, it was just as almost as good as if You did. Because that was the state of the heart. Really. You know, a lot of people say, oh, come on, there's nothing. No, there isn't nothing like seeing Jesus. But just to have the satisfaction that by grace, that I really was expecting You today, God, only You could do that. At least I know that for my life. And I hope you're not walking around here and say, well, I can do that every day. No, you can't. You can't love like that. That's the only thing that God can bring you. And you need to know that. This is just the grace of God that prepares our hearts to have that kind of a longing for Him. If He's coming today. See, that was Brother Paul. Wasn't that wonderful? See, he longed to see Jesus. He was wanting to see Him. He lived to meet Jesus in the air. He wanted to see Him that way, didn't he? And I'll guarantee you that it was up until the moment they took His head from His body. And you know what? It was just as good for him. Because he was still immediately present with the Lord. Praise the Lord. But see, he believed the word of God. And that's how he was living. He wasn't living to say, well, I'm thankful to face this death and all. Sure, as we know, by the grace of God, he was clicking his heels. I'm sure as he was going to the chopping block. Oh, this old world, goodbye. But I do believe that the Lord, by grace, had him thinking just to that moment. Could I even disappear from this chopping block? And they were wondering, where did he go? I mean that. You ever think about that sometimes? About those people that really hate you, trying to just give you one or two, and maybe, I don't know what it might be. I was in a couple situations. I don't want to tell you about the situation, but just as where they were trying to nail me, trying to just absolutely ridicule me. And I was thinking, you know, at that time, as the Lord brought the peace in, you know what, Lord, You could take me from here. I mean, I'd just be gone. They'd be talking to me. Where'd He go? Where'd He go? And I'm going to tell you, it is real. And you better know that. And that's why we can live like that. And that's how Paul followed Christ. He believed Him. He believed Him. Totally. Unequivocally. He just believed that the Lord said it, and it's so. So, this Antichrist preaching, brothers and sisters, it is all about us. It is the same old thing back then, but it's here today. And it's the same old preaching. Many ways to God. How many times do we hear that? Even Christians today are compromising. Trying to analyze this in their brain. Oh, there's just so many people. How could it just be so narrow that there could just be one way to God? You know, I'm so smart that I know that it just couldn't be that way. I'm so intelligent that I know that with this giant big old world, I could figure out that there had to be more than just one way. God help you if that's your mind. This is God we're talking about. And this is His divine word we're into right here. Okay? And He can set it up any way He wants to. And He set it up in one way. And that's, as you've heard me say many times, it's so precious to me. That there's no doubt about the word of God. rightfully dividing the word of God. There's no doubt about it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, what don't you get in that? What don't you get? The only thing that you don't want to get is you don't want to obey God. That's it. Just tell it like it is. You're defiant. And I do know people that are actually saved that are coming to the point where they're compromising that there must be more than one way. And that's the seduction. That's because it's not you're opening your mind. It's because you're allowing that mind to be polluted and corrupted. And there's no mind of Christ going into that anyways. But we hear that there's many ways to God. We heard Brother Hill said so many times, good God, good devil, good everybody. Let's not offend anybody. But these here, as we're reading, though they claim to be Christians, they're not. How do you know if somebody's not a Christian? They deny Christ. They deny that Jesus is the Christ. They deny that He is the only begotten Son. The only begotten Son. Now remember this. This is not a God we're talking about. This is the God we're talking about. This isn't a Savior we're talking about. This is the Savior we're talking about. Brothers and sisters, we need to know this. We need to stand for this and praise God that if He's caused our heart to be so, it is by grace. But we don't need to be fooled by today's religious and the celebrities and all of these ones that truly are wolves disguised as sheep. And there's a lot of them out there today. There's a lot of them out there today. Shoot, you know, I don't know who listens to these broadcasts. I know that they get on this livingwaterstabernacle.com. I hope they do. But you know what? They don't like people saying this. They try to put you in a corner and say, oh, you're just so narrow-minded. Let me tell you, the Bible says narrow's the way. Narrow is the way. Not many mighty, not many wise. Huh? Yes. Amen. Know what we've been called to. See, they deny that He was God in the flesh. There was a group of these Gnostics, they were out there and said, well, yeah, He was, but then once the Holy Spirit came, and then He departed. And then it really wasn't very God, a very God that went to the cross to die and all of that anyways. It really did. You see what I'm saying? They'll take pieces and bits and all of these different things, and they turn it into a lie. And that's what they were doing. But let me tell you something. This was very God in the flesh that lived, died, became sin for us who knew no sin. And He rose from the dead. And He ascended up on high at the right hand of the Father. And I've got a message that I'm believing that He's waiting for me. And praise God, He wants to see me more than I want to see Him face to face. I know He does. And praise the Lord, as it says though at the end of this 19th verse though, see, we don't have to be fooled. The ones that love Him are not fooled because God makes it manifest. Isn't that wonderful? See, even if we are otherwise minded, if we really love the Lord, He'll make it known. He'll show us. He really will. He wants you to know. And if you will to know, you'll know. And if there's ones that you're thinking, well, I don't know about this, pray the Lord reveal it. But I'm going to tell you something. When He convicts you and He shows you, believe Him. Don't try to make another excuse of why you're hanging in there with this stuff. Come on now. Call it what it is. I'm not saying this isn't judgment. This is called discernment. This is called judging it for what it is and understanding that the Lord in His Word doesn't want you hanging around with that ungodly stuff. Break free. I've seen so many people, God's precious people, get carried away with these winds of doctrine. Well, it sounded so good. There was a lot of truth in that. I don't want to hear there's a lot of truth in that. I only want to hear there was only truth in that. We have that privilege. I don't want to sift through the garbage. I don't want to say, well, I was so encouraged by that. No, that was... No, by the grace of God, we have that pure word. You have it. Go get it. Don't compromise. Let's go on, verse 20. But ye have an unction. That's a great word. have. We'll talk about it in a minute. You didn't realize you had an unction, did you? From the Holy One, and ye know all things. Don't let that go to your head. It's because, Lord, thou knowest. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Well, isn't that such a wonderful compass for your life? Isn't that precious? See, we know that when it's deceit and it's a lie, that's not of God. We know it quickly. We're trying to deceive ourselves. I'm talking about our own little personal lives. You know, the secret place where He's searching your heart. You know it. You know it. Because He's given you that word. He's given you that ability. Who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. It's a package. We're going to find that out. Without the Son, you're never going to have the Father. Together, they're one. They're one. So here we go. You have an unction. And that is a precious word, brothers and sisters. That word unction means anointed with oil. Even these children, isn't that precious that he's talking to here? They've been anointed with the oil. And that's the one and only oil that we're speaking of here is the Holy Spirit. And as the Word of God tells us, by Him, by this Holy Spirit, this is John 16:13-14, I'm surmising here, we are led into all truth, right? By the grace of God, He's the one that comes to lead us into all truth. He's the one that takes the things of Christ and makes them ours. And praise be to God, these little children have great potential. But I want us to really be aware of what this is saying. Remember that just because you're filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean you're yielding and living a matured life. Did you hear me? Just because you're filled does not mean you crossed the finish line. It's just the beginning. It is just the beginning by the grace of God. You got great potential, but the vessel has to be willing to continue to receive. You got to be willing to continue to receive it. You've come so far, but you've stopped. No, by the grace of God, I will go. I want to go on. I want to win you. Lord, you gave me that message. Praise God, you gave me the grace to love it. Help me. Help me not to draw back. Help me not to compromise. Help me not to be weary. God, this is yours. This is yours. And it's yours. You know, people say, oh, you got a lot of energy. No, God does. God's got all the energy you need. You just got to be, He created that vessel. Isn't that wonderful? Let Him fill it up. Let it be overflowing. You know, it's not, it's just that one, I'm done. You know, I've heard that so many times. Brothers and sisters, you need that continuing refreshing of the Holy Spirit. It just lives, bubbling over. It's just there all the time. And praise be to God, I really do. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said that. And what else did he say? He said, I speak in tongues more than they all. Don't be afraid to visit with your Heavenly Father in that wonderful language that He's given you. Now, I'm not saying that we just become dependent upon that and that becomes our feeling. But praise the Lord. Know what it is. Know what a precious gift the infilling of the Holy Spirit is in your life. I don't know about you, but my words end real quickly. How about you? And I say, let's just go into overdrive, as we kind of call that between the Lord and myself. Take it on. And we just speak for a long time. Sometimes He even lets me know what He's saying through me. But most of the time, I'm just telling you, I'm just sitting there just praising Him. Don't know why, Lord, but it's just Your grace. But I have to just say this, I feel great. Praise the Lord what He does. But that's Him. But because of the grace of God, brothers and sisters, these little children, take this for our own lives, even though we might be struggling, abound in hope, even though ones that are close to your family, your loved ones, are starting to go this way, still abound in hope, not in hope of them, but in hope of your ever faithful Father. And the reason is that we have the hope is the grace of God, because the provision for them to know is there. Isn't that wonderful that he's saying this to these little children? I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. You know it. He planted it. He gave it. You have that incorruptible, that uncorruptible seed. It's there. Can't be corrupted. You got his life. Now praise the Lord. We're still preaching it. We're still preaching it. God, let it take hold. We can have that mind of Christ. It's always there. So see, we know the truth. What this is saying, wake up and make a stand. Brothers and sisters, as it says in 1 John 4, 1 through 3, let's read that. See, there's many spirits out there. But there's one thing that's so unique about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always in sync with the Word of God. And let's read this in chapter 4, the first three verses. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. I've had, you know, people say, well, brother so-and-so said, or brother so-and-so. And I appreciate that, but is it the Word of God? Is it the Word of God? That's it. And I mean that. People say, well, Brother Jesse said this. Well, by the grace of God, no, the Word of God said this through Brother Jesse. It's the Word of God. Okay? And we search these things to see if they are so. Okay? So I say, it's His Word. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How many more now? We have a lot more people. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Here's how you know. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. If somebody wants to talk to you and you get to that, just that first question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, praise God, is come in the flesh, is of God? If they say no, see ya. I don't even think you have to say see ya. The door can shut. I don't care what it is. But unless the Lord wants you to deal with them. But I'm just telling you, know what you've got there. Don't be deceived. Go right to the point. Go right to the point. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. See, it's been here. Lord allowed it. And it's just bubbling and boiling up more and more and more and more and more until we get that one that will present himself as God. And I'm telling you, I think we are so ripe. It is so exciting to see. And I mean that. I'm so grateful to God. I'm so thankful the life he's given me. I had some wonderful things and all of this. But brothers and sisters, know that all that stuff could be gone so quickly. It really doesn't matter. I hope you understand how worthless your money is. I think this is a great time that we live in. I tell people this. I was having a conversation with, there's an investment guy I know. And he started talking about the Lord. It's amazing how people, it's not me that starts talking about the Lord. They start talking about the Lord. Must be a conviction going on. But they start talking about it. But then when it gets too much into the Lord and it really starts to convict them, it stops. It's just like, boom, you know. But how can we not just keep going? It's called momentum. And you can't stop the love of God. You just can't. And that's where it goes. Praise God. So we need to have that stand. I put down here, see, let's quit being milquetoast Christians. Really, we need to quit doing that. This world is producing milquetoast people. And it is. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that in a lot of ways, there's a lot of talk in our country about this milquetoast in a lot of different ways. I'm talking about milquetoast Christians. We need to be mighty men of God. That's it. That's it. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Well, I've got pictures of all that in my mind, and you do too. And it's not a milquetoast Christian. It's somebody who makes a stand. I'm not out here to try to offend you. I'll seek peace with every man as much as lies within me, but I'm not going to compromise the Word of God. We do not want to do that. We should feel ashamed. I know in my life there's been times I know that the Lord wanted me to speak, and I didn't. But thankful to God that He still loves me, and in His grace, He built up a more of a boldness, more of a love. Oh, I hurt you, Lord. It wasn't even about me. I'm so thankful to God. Well, I could have done that. It wasn't that at all. It was, I know you wanted me to say that, Lord, and I didn't. So, be ready to give every man an answer. In the love of God, I know there's many that are ready to give a lot of things, but let's give them love. But see, we need to endure. We need to prepare. And we need to prepare to meet that one, and praise be to God, that would say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I love all those things that He says. I know there's some people that say, oh, well, you know, that's for that group over there. No, come on. I'm going to take everything I can get. How about you? I want Him to give it all. And I mean it. Every way. My goodness, brothers and sisters, that servant, I think, was, if I remember right, one of the four beasts. Huh? Isn't there a calf there? Okay. Just make sure we're all together. And the Word of God, but that's what I'm saying. That's one of the qualities, isn't it now? Isn't that precious? There is a serving there by the grace of God. And it is. It is His grace that allows us to do that. So let's just stay with it. Let's not get too uppity in any of the thoughts that we have. But going back to, these are liars, it says. These are liars. The Antichrist denies Jesus. And in case, again, we're a little bit confused, and I hope we're not at all, without Jesus, you deny the Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us, by Jesus, we believe in God. You'll read that. Yes, I am just bringing it out. It's a little bit longer than that, but that's exactly what it's saying. By Jesus, we believe in God. There's no other way. It's all in Him and through Him. If we leave Christ out, I'm going to tell you, you leave out everything. Because He is everything. God put everything in Him. Verse 23 tells us very clearly there. It says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Did you see that? See, you can't claim God. You can't go to God. I don't care what religion you have. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much heritage you have. I don't care how much of the Bible you know. Or any other religion you know. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. You can't get there. You can't even call Him God. You can think you are, but unless He hears it, I don't think you're calling Him anything. I said, man, what century were you born in, brother? I'm born in Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, that's what it is, and I'm glad you love it too. Let that therefore abide in you. This is verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, I'll tell you, there's a lot that'll try to wrestle with this one. Let's break it down, okay? This is the high calling fellowship, that's the urging that's going on here. This is all about high calling. Remember back in verses 13 and 14 where we talked about the fathers. Let's go just read the first part of verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. Now, it's similar to what we just read, isn't it? But what's the difference? Known from the beginning or heard from the beginning? There's a big difference. The father that's mature, the one that's settled down there. And by the way, that word known from the beginning, do you know that that's the most intimate of knowledge? That word know is talking about the intimacy between a husband and a wife. It is. Look it up for yourself. That's what that word means in the Greek. They know Him. And they've known Him from beginning. Not just heard Him, but have known Him. And you think about this. This knowing makes the move. It makes the move. Hearing, that word means it considers. I'm done considering. How about you? You ready to make the move? Huh? See, that's the difference of sitting on the premises, as they say, or standing on the promises. It really is. It's that same difference. Are you going to enter in? Or are you going to just kind of observe? And the Word of God even shows that that's the same thing in heaven. There's going to be those that observe the glory. And it's a wonderful thing. Incredible, awesome. Nobody's going to be dissatisfied. But I'm going to tell you, the ones that are in the glory are going to be having a big time. It's just different. It's just different. You think about it. I always thought about, as you know, I told the boys, you know, they'd go to the football games when they were little. And we'd sit in those stands. I'd take them to the high school games. They'd say, "Oh, Daddy, this is great. This is so much fun." I said, "Wait till, Lord willing, you get a play in there. Wait till you get to put the pads on and you get to get in there. You'll never want to sit up here again unless you're watching your son. And then it's even better than when you're in there." But see, that's how the love of God is, isn't it? Watching us. But that's what it is. It's that entering into it. It's just a total different thing. It's wonderful, I'm sure, to, like I say, watching those Broncos play in the stadium, it's exciting. Go talk to a Bronco how exciting it is to actually play in the game, to be in the glory. And that's just temporal nothing. We're talking about the everlasting, the absolute epitome of what it's going to be all about, the very glory of God. My, oh my, we'd ever even get a handle on that. But I was thinking in this too, how many times I, speaking to my kids, how many times I asked them over and over, how about you too? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Well, sure they heard me. But let's go to another level. Did you listen? Did you know? Did you make the move? Or did you just consider it? Huh? Thank God for chastening, huh? We say it back home, thank God for Mr. Sticky. That helps the boys make the move. But see, he ain't going to force us. But as my dear aunt said, boy, I'll tell you what, you sure wish you had. And see, there's going to be a time it's too late. And that's what he's talking about here. And this is very serious. Very, very serious. We can come to Bible study. And I'm so thankful that we come to Bible study. I'm so thankful that we come here and we're in tune with the things of God. And we want to come together. But enter in. Enter in. Allow this to really draw you into that intimacy. It is the right step, don't get me wrong. But by the grace of God, it's entering in. And this is what he's talking about here. Don't just consider anymore. Make the move. Make the move. Quit putting it off. Remember? The height of the love of God? It's you. It's you if you want it. I'm so thankful he deals with us like this. But see, brothers and sisters, hearing alone is not going to get it. The Word of God tells us that it's got to be digested, chewed. A full set of teeth to chew on it. Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. Because the very heart of God is at stake. The very heart of God is at stake. And the question is, do you want it? King Saul had the same opportunity. He did. He was anointed. He was God's anointed. But he didn't want it. But God saw in ages past there was a little shepherd boy that was a man after the very heart of God. And praise the Lord. I believe that he's written that across our hearts as well too. Now the choice is, are we going to consider or are we going to make the move? Amen. And that's really what he's getting at here. And look at how clear this is, if there was any thought here. Going back to that 24th verse. Listen to this. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. So see, there's this if what you heard shall remain in you. And remember, he's talking to little children. These are the children of the King. These are saved. And obviously we know too, they're not just saved, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They have the anointing upon their life. Ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Now let's read verse 25 to know that this isn't talking about salvation. And this is the promise. He hath promised us even eternal life. You've already got that. That's already been done. That's already taken care of. My goodness, we know that never leaves us. But what he's talking here, it's the provision for God's best that was from the beginning. As it says here, Are you abiding in it? And are you allowing it to abide in you? What he's getting at here is the first love. First love. Is that remaining? Is that still fervently burning, brothers and sisters? Or has that love waxed cold? All right, I think we've got that. Let's go on down. We read verse 26, which it says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." But here we go. Back to the faithfulness of God. But God. This is really what this is saying. It says it in a different way. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Isn't that wonderful? That anointing. My goodness. I've talked to people, and I'll just mention this quickly here, about the Holy Spirit, about being filled. I've heard them say, "Well, I'm not filled anymore." Yes, you are. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You just need to live a life of full of the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. You have it. You have that anointing. Now live it. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. This is just so glorying in the faithfulness of God. They didn't deserve it. You don't either. But God's faithful. And He wants it for you more than you could ever want it. Even when you quit, He never does. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Boy, that faithfulness just comes and comes and it comes. I just love it because this makes me think of Ephesians 4:15, where it says, "Grow up into him in all things." Come on. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13, ye are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're anointed. The Holy Ghost is all over the place. Now praise God, let us stake our claim in His love for us. And let it be shed abroad in our heart. We know that the truth in God and His faithfulness will never leave us nor forsake us. That he who wills to know will know. And that God, praise the Lord, will send anointed vessels. Will send anointed vessels to preach the word. He will not leave you comfortless. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And that same anointing is here today. And it is. And God proves himself faithful. We don't need to panic. I was so grateful to God. And you know, you can say, "Well, you can say that, huh? Because you're the preacher." No, I say that because God is my Father. And I'm going to tell you something. I appreciated Brother Hill. Remember, so many people were so bent out of shape. "You know, Brother Hill, you're kind of getting old." Trust God. And everybody thought, you know what? He's not getting things in order. No, he already knew that God already had it in order. And I didn't know what God was going to do. And neither did you. Neither did any of us. But you know what? He's faithful. And he's faithful. He needed to increase love in your life. He needed to increase love in my life. And you know what? I'm so thankful to God. I did. I asked for a double portion when God called me to preach. And you know what? He gave it to you. And he did. He gave it to us. We have a place that is so mightily protected by his hand. It is, because it's the people of God. It's because of this message. He's faithful to it. If we have hearts for it, let me tell you something. He'll perform that. He'll perform it. He'll finish it. He'll finish it beyond anything that we could ever think of. Exceeding abundantly. That's what God does. I'm not bragging about you. I'm not bragging about me. I'm just calling it what it is. It's Him. Isn't that wonderful? So see, that's what God does. All right, let's hurry up and finish up the 28th and 29th and we'll call it a night. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So basically, don't delay. The appointed time is now. Little children, this is still the little children, let's get to abiding. Let's get to dwelling. You start abiding and dwelling, and you know what? You're going to grow up. Because it's all about His coming. It's all about being ready to meet Him. To be prepared to greet Him. Praise God. God wants us confident. Isn't that wonderful? God wants us confident. And that word means assured. It means fearless. It means bold. But not in ourselves. All of that in the grace of God. I am confident and fearless and bold in the grace of God. And my steps are being enlarged every single day. It's awesome. It really is. Isn't it wonderful to believe God? But isn't it wonderful that the next day, you know by grace, He increased that and you're even believing Him more? I mean, that just blows me away when that happens. And it is. It's like, Lord, I'm watching the new man. And it is. He's growing up. Praise the Lord, He's growing up. And that's what it's about. But He's saying here, if we remain children and we choose not to grow, you're going to meet Him. We're going to meet Him. But we're going to meet Him just as the innumerable multitude there in Revelation 7:17 with tears in our eyes. And why? Because there is an ashamed. Look at that word. There's ones that will be ashamed. And that word is really interesting. It means disfigured. Did you know that? That word means disfigured. To me, it called out what could have been. Huh? Oh Lord, what could have been? Short of the mark. See, it's got to be the mark. That's it. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, it has to be that mark for the prize. It has to be that. It reminds me of Paul speaking there to the Galatians when he said to them as they were regressing into legality, O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Huh? That word bewitched back then, it meant evil had entered in. They become poisoned, basically stunted, not growing right. There was imperfect. The leaven was getting in there. A spoiling was taking place. As opposed to the wife that has made herself ready. Think of the words that the Word of God uses about her. Prepared, perfect, mature, complete, nothing lacking. She's not disfigured in any way. Brother Copley, I appreciated how he talked about her. She's perfectly symmetrical. They always talk about symmetry. They talk about the most beautiful things, and especially the most beautiful people. They even did a study on their faces and things of that nature. If you take really pretty people, their eyes in relation to their face and all of these different things, they're similar. There's a pattern. Well, let me tell you something. There's a pattern in this precious lady. And He did it all. Completely His workmanship. Perfect. The masterpiece. Oh my goodness. Just completely finished. And in verse 29 it says, if we know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. And we do know. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. Boy, let this just put you to sleep tonight. You might even stay up thinking about it. Because we have been made the very righteousness of God. That's really what it concludes. In Him. By Him. Not only do we know it, but that's exactly who we are. Christ Jesus made us in His divine grace the righteousness of God in Him. That's who you are. That's who you are. Nothing else. That thing that flails around, disappoints, unbelief, that's not who you are. That's not. You're new. You're the very righteousness of God in Him. Now, what do you say that by the grace of God, we lay hold of it? What do we think we say by the grace of God? Lord, I'm going to believe You. I'm going to believe You. I'm going to trust You. I'm not going to go by feeling. I'm not going to go by what I see. But I'm going to trust You. And I'm going to tell you something. that grace will flood your life. I'm living proof by His grace of the grace of God. I know what He's delivered me from. I know what He's taken me from. Things that gripped my life so that I thought there was no way I was ever going to get over that or get out of that. Nothing's impossible for God. And nothing's hard. So don't think this is something He's even got to think about, because He's already provided all of it in His Son. Let's stand and be dismissed.